you'll open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight we want to look at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Not much said here, but that one part, that Enoch pleased God. Now, normally our attention, as we get into that verse, thinks about the fact of what it would be like to be translated as it said here that he did not die. And as we look at the life of Enoch, there's not much there. In fact, keep your finger there in Hebrews. We're going to come back to it. But turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And I want to read you the complete record of Enoch in the Old Testament. From Genesis to Malachi, we have it all right here in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, Enoch's son, Methuselah, lived to be 900 years old in this. But now, Enoch, after 65 years there, then he begat Methuselah. Verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, here's 65 years that Enoch lived, and really, though he learned about God, evidently, he had conversation with Adam and Eve. They were still alive at this time, and others that were there. And then after 65 years, Enoch began walking with God and for 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, it wasn't for 6 months or 6 years, but he walked with God 300 years. Notice now in verse 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I've often wondered just what did they talk about. It doesn't say anything here about it, but I know they had a conversation going on. What would they talk about? What would God talk with Enoch about and Enoch? Now, this is before the flood, and how that as God began to move in the hearts and the lives of individuals and all, and Enoch is the only one that we have a record of that he actually walked with God. Now, there was others who worshiped God, who knew about God. But as you think about that, now, just what would God, what type of conversation would God carry on with Enoch? Well, I know one thing that God would talk to Enoch about. It's a favorite subject of God. God loves to talk about the future. Think about that. As you go through the Bible, and as you study the Bible, you'll find prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. What does the word prophecy mean? It means about the future. What's going to happen in the future? God always wanted to share with those who loved him and trusted him about the future. Well, now, with before the flood, what kind of future would God talk about with Enoch? And if he talked to him about that, of course, he'd probably tell him about the flood coming and on that. But still, we don't have a record of that particular part. God talked to Noah about the flood and the reason why he was going to bring the flood and all that was involved with it. And of course, you know, Noah found grace, unmerited favor with God. But here Enoch was walking with God because he pleased God. Now, I can tell you a little bit about the conversation that God had with Enoch as they walked. If you will turn in your Bibles over all the way to the book of Revelation and stop just before you get there, and look at Jude, the book of Jude. Jude. I'll say chapter 1. That's the only chapter that's there. But Jude, and I want you to look at verse 14. And this is quite exciting as I think about this. Now, here's a man that pleased God. And in this act of pleasing God, of walking with God, God shared with him some things, and it pleased God to share this. And God wants to share that with us today, as he would want to talk with us and have fellowship with us. Look at it now in Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now God, in his conversation with Enoch, they talked about the Lord, about God's only begotten Son, and that in the future, way in the future, beyond the flood, and when civilization would start all over again with just Noah and his three sons, he talked about the Lord. He said, the Lord will come with 10,000s of his saints. Now, why was the Lord coming back with 10,000s of his saints as God talked with Enoch and told him about all the things that he planned to do? Notice verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which have they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now there's God kind of got hung up on a word there, ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. Now in this conversation, as they spent 300 years walking together and carrying on with Enoch, and this, he's talking about after the flood. Now, before the flood, I imagine God shared with Enoch how that it was going to get so bad that he would have to destroy this whole world with water and start all over again. Well, you'd think when they start all over again, maybe Noah and the three sons would have learned their lesson and do it right. And but God talked with Enoch and shared with him that they're not going to do it right. As generation after generation, they would be ungodly people on this earth. And it would come to the point again that God's Son would come to execute judgment upon all, to convince them of their ungodly deeds that are there. We don't have any more conversation or information about this, but just with them, that information, we can see a lot that God would talk about with Enoch to begin to understand this. We can read that and understand it because that's all past history with us. But here he's looking out in the future of what's out there. And I imagine there are many other things. But what I want you to draw your attention to, now go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, that was quite an experience. Other people around him died. They'd have funerals. They'd bury them. They'd die for various reasons, whether somebody would kill them or somebody would get mad at them or they'd die of disease or have an accident or some animal got a hold of them that was more powerful than they were. People died. No one ever left this earth without dying up to the point of Enoch. Now he's about to experience something that no one else has ever experienced and no one else would for a long time afterwards. It was after the flood on down where you have Elijah that was taken up without having to die in this. And so this was quite a thing that would happen to him, and I imagine God talked to him about it. You're not going to have to die as others. You just come on, just walk with me and one day we'll just go on home. You won't have to die. My, what an experience that was. Now, why would God do that with Enoch? It says there now, let's look at it again. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, with this, all of this great information we have about Enoch, the few verses in Genesis, the two verses in Jude, how can we know how Enoch pleased God? Wouldn't you like to please God the way Enoch did? that you can have that walk with God and have that conversation and understand things that's going on not only in his time but in the time to come? Could it be that we possibly today, you and I, could experience the same thing that Enoch experienced and not have to die, but we would call it what? A rapture. We'd be translated and taken out. You see, this is not far-fetched for us today, and we would know more about it and could enjoy it more if we pleased God. Well, now, just what did Enoch do that pleased God? Well, we could assume, said walking with God, that would please him. Now, to walk with someone means you must agree with them. And I imagine the conversation was not what Enoch wanted to talk about, but what God wanted to. That would please God. Have you ever walked with someone or sat with someone and talked to them and they did all the talking? You know, you'd like to say something, but they just did all the talking in that. Now, unless you really loved that individual, you'd like to get a word in edgewise on that. It would have pleased you to say something in that. Well, now with God, it pleased God that Enoch was interested in what God had to say in walking with him. But we do have a clue as to what Enoch did that pleased God. Look at the very next verse, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Think about that now for a few moments. Here we find the verse just prior to this about Enoch, and he pleased God. And how can he please God? Well, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. So Enoch had great faith. Now, Enoch didn't have a Bible to look at. All he knew about God is what Adam and Eve told him about God. And what his great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather and on back down the line, whatever experiences they had with God, that's what he heard. And he believed it. He didn't question it. He didn't question Adam and Eve about what was going on. He simply believed what he heard. And he believed God. To walk with God, it was not to question him or to doubt him. For you see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in order for Enoch to please God, he had to take him at face value. Have you done that with God? Or have you questioned God? So, well, I don't think I've questioned God. Have you ever asked for proof? God wants me to do something and I need this. Well, prove it. Give me a sign. Now, there's two things that could be involved in that. One is when you ask for a sign, in fact, Jesus tells us in the New Testament, an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there's no sign given to you but the sign of Jonah. He was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The sign that you have is the resurrection of Christ. But if you have to have proof from God about things, you're not really stepping out in faith. Now, sometimes as we try to understand God as to what he might be telling us and leading us, we want to be sure that we are understanding him right, that what we think God is telling us, we want to be sure that's right, so we ask for a sign. Not that we doubt God, but just that we're on the right path on that. But most of us, when we ask for a sign, really we're saying, is this really going to happen? Now, faith doesn't ask for that. When you have faith that Enoch had, he didn't ask for any sign. He didn't ask any questions. It's just about, okay, God, I believe it. I might not understand it, but if you said it, that settles it. When you begin to walk that way, the joy, the excitement you have with the Heavenly Father, you begin to please him. When God is pleased, then your heart's going to be pleased. Man, the joy just of that, of knowing that you please God. And the only way you can really please God is with faith. Believing God as is. Not only that, now notice that verse 6 again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to have faith to believe that who you're talking to and who you're dealing with is the only living God, period. There are no other gods. Now, people might think there are other gods. They might imagine other gods. They might worship what they call other gods, but there are no gods there. It's all an imagination. Our pastor talked about that this morning of the Egyptians and how well it was said and that the plagues were to prove that God was greater than their imaginary gods. They had many gods that they imagined was there, but they really didn't exist. You can imagine all you want to, and it doesn't make it real. They were not real. We only have one real, true God. That's all. And when you come to God to please him, you must believe that he is, as he said, I am. That includes everything. Nothing else. You don't question it. You don't doubt it. You don't wonder, well, is there another God or whatever? No, this is it on there. And goes on to say, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It wasn't a matter of Enoch saying, man, do I have to walk with God today? I walked with him yesterday. Do I have to listen to God again on that? Oh, he was excited. He was thrilled. Now, this didn't go on for a week or two or a couple of months or a couple of years, but 300 years. As Enoch went about his normal activities of raising a family, he had more children. He had to have a job that would take care of those children and all that was involved with that. But with all that was going on, as anybody else would have, as you and I have today, his main desire was to be with God. And it wasn't an imagination of his heart. He knew that God was real, and he heard him speak to his heart and his life. That pleased God. So what are we doing today? How do we please God? Well, of course, definitely we please God by faith. Everything that would please God is based upon faith in God. What God would say, what God would have us to do, and what's involved with that. So now turn to Colossians chapter 1. Keep your finger there in Hebrews. We'll come back to it fairly close to that. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, remember, Enoch walked with God in faith. Now, he had to have a lot of faith to walk in that, and he did, and he pleased God. And all the faith we need to have. I've shared with you before, God is so real to me that as a kid, we would play games of tag and one thing or another, or King of the Hill or something else. And so as we would run to tag someone, they'd say, no, I'm safe. I've got my fingers crossed. Or I've got my legs crossed. Or they'd say, King's X. And when you crossed your fingers, then that meant that you were supposed to be safe at that time. And then if they thought you were fibbing a little bit, in reality telling a lie, you'd say, no, I had my fingers crossed. I was just talking. I had my fingers crossed. Well, I knew when you crossed your fingers or anything and playing that, you were trying to develop your own safety or you weren't fibbing about what you were saying. And so I found myself sometimes when I'm praying to God, I'd realize that I had my legs crossed. And I would uncross them because I didn't want to let God or tell God that I wasn't telling the truth. He was real to me. He is real to me. And when I'm praying, it's not a matter that I'm sending a message that goes faster than a light or anything else that can go to where God is and he can hear it. But God is and I can feel him and see him. I believe and I know by faith God is right here with me. And when I pray, it's just like being right there in his presence. And there's many reasons for that. Jesus made that possible through his death. Faith, see. So now, in Colossians 1:10, and that ye might walk, here's that pleasing God again, walking, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So how can I please God? By faith, I do what he tells me to do. That's that good works. God doesn't tell us to do something bad. He doesn't tell us to hate our neighbor or to hate our brethren or to steal from them. No, he tells us to help them. And if they take something from you, give them more. If they hit you on one side of the face, turn the other side of the face. Now, you can't do that unless you got to believe what God is saying is true. So to do good works is to obey God in faith and do things that you normally wouldn't do. To love my enemies? Now, God, you got to be kidding. Do you realize what they've done to me and what they're saying and what they're doing? No. You see, what are you doing? You're doubting God. If God says, I'm to love my enemies, by faith I step out and I love my enemies. How can you forgive someone? God says you forgive them because of what my son has done. Jesus died on the cross. That's the way I forgive you. And that's the way you forgive others. Man, there's a lot of good things that God wants us to do. And when we do that in faith, obeying God, then we are pleasing him. But now, wait a minute. It says in that verse 10, on the matter of doing good. Well, let's just keep your finger there in Colossians and turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. You were in 11, so just flip over another page or two or there and go to Hebrews 13 and look at verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Now, we're talking about pleasing God. You please God by believing, by having faith. I mean, you don't doubt anything. Whatever it says, that's it, whether you understand or not. And you're going to obey him by faith, that he is and he knows what is best for us. So in Hebrews 13 and verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Not just that he's pleased, but he's well pleased with what? To communicate, to help others, to serve others, to do good. Oh my, what a blessing. Not only does it make you feel good when you step out in faith and help others and communicate with those who won't thank you, who's not going to love you, they're not going to appreciate you, but God says we're to do it. And we're to do it with love. His love. And when you step out in faith and do that, not only do you feel good, but God is well pleased with this. So to please God is to have faith, believe that he's the only God, obey his word, do good. But then look back in Colossians again. Colossians 1 and verse 10. Colossians 1 and verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now, that word fruitful means you don't just do it once. Now, we had a pear tree. I mean, not a pear tree. We had two plum trees in the backyard at Hodge in Oklahoma. And the backyard of the Parsons there. And boy, I mean, when they begin to produce, they were fruitful. It wouldn't matter going out and picking a few plums off there, and we're done on that. And that's all that was on the tree. Boy, it seems like every time we picked one off, 10 more came in its place. It was just producing plums all over the place. We had more plums we could shake a stick at. We plumbed everything we could in that, and then set out sacks and boxes over by the church for people to pick up, and still had more in that. That's the way we do our good works. You don't do it once. It's just over and more, and when you begin to do one, you're doing some more and more. This pleases God. But now, there's something else in that verse. Let me start again in verse 10 of Colossians 1. That ye might work worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That takes me back to Enoch. I mean, here he is. He's the seventh from Adam. Population's not all that much. He's talked with Adam and Eve. Well, where'd you come from? How'd y'all get here? And that Well, God created us. And Adam would talk about that. And then their relationship with the animals and the instruction God gave them and all that was involved in that. And you can imagine Enoch in over these 300 years would be interested in how everything came about. And yet he could find that from Adam and Eve as what they learned from God and what they were still learning, and that he would understand of God and talking about these 300 years of all that God would explain to him. And he didn't stop with just, okay, God, you created the stars, you created the earth, and I don't know how you did all that, but you did it, whether you spoke it into existence or you made it with your hands, but you did all of that. But Enoch kept increasing in the knowledge to the point, as we read in Jude a while ago, that they talked about not only what was going on in their day, what was happening right then with Enoch and his family and the rest of the relative, but what was going to happen in years to come. What was going to happen in centuries to come. He kept increasing in knowledge. If you want to please God, then have a desire to know God's word, every bit of it, from beginning to end. Things that you didn't even imagine that you would know in there. I'm always amazed. The more I study, the more I find that I don't know, and the more I can know of what's in there. About the time I thought and studied a verse in the Bible, and man, I've covered that verse. I've looked at every word in it. I've looked up all of the Greek or the Hebrew, whatever, whether it's in the Old Testament, New Testament. I thought I've just gone through it thoroughly, and I'll put it down and come back, and it's brand new. I've just begun to scratch the surface. And God takes me in deeper and deeper and begin to dig more into that and to study it more and get through with that. Man, I've exhausted it now. Turn around, come back, and it's like I hadn't even scratched the surface. There's more to it. It's deeper than what I even imagined. And that's the way it is with God. When you have that desire to increase in knowledge of God's word, not knowledge what man is doing, but what God has done and how he explains it in his word, that pleases God. Look at 2 Timothy. Keep your finger there in Colossians. We're going to come back to it. But turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study. Now that's not a request. That's a command. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you ever looked at that verse? I mean, really sit down and look at it. First of all, we're to study. Now, there's a difference between reading and studying. Wouldn't you agree with them? See, just to read it is just to read over it and you go on. To study means you're going to examine it. You're going to find out why that word is used there. And not only the definition of the word literally, but how God has given a new definition of the word in that context that is there. In studying means to really dig and go further. That pleases God to increase in knowledge. Now, study to show thyself approved among men? No. Approved unto God. It pleases God when we study his word. It pleases God when we increase in knowledge. And then it says in that, that needeth not to be ashamed. Oh my. The more you know about God's word and you accept it by faith, you're not going to understand it all. Don't try to understand it. Accept it. And let God continue to explain it deeper and deeper and deeper. Then you're not going to be ashamed. Man, the joy, the excitement. But then it says something there that's a little kind of, you don't want to let it slip by you. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Think about that. Rightly, so that we've got to be correct in what we're going to do. As we study the word of God, we don't want to go out in left field. We want to be correct. That pleases God when we increase in his knowledge. Rightly dividing Now, to divide means there are many divisions that you can have in this passage. And in the different words or passages and teachings of God's Word, it's not just one meaning. There are many meanings there, many different levels that you can divide and go from one level to another. Man, I got through the third grade or fourth grade, and man, I liked math, and I thought I'd completed math. I knew how what two and two was, and I could count and do pretty good. I'm still studying math. And the more I study, the more there is to divide in that. And it's not just a matter of two and two is four. It goes beyond all of that. The same thing with every scripture. We want to look at a scripture, and we might look at the first grade level and say, man, I've completed. I've graduated. No, God is pleased when you increase in knowledge and you'll look at that same scripture and you'll go from the first grade level of understanding to the second grade level and the third grade level. And you'll understand it then in the fifth grade level. And then you'll understand it in the university level. And when you get through with that, you're still dividing it, still going further. That pleases God. To have a desire to have a conversation with Him, that is to study His Word, to understand His Word, by faith, not arguing with Him, not questioning it, accepting it, and as you think you finally understand what is there, then He moves you on to another level on that. The joy, the excitement, and that pleases God in the knowledge and increasing our knowledge in the Word of God. And then for something that we've missed in our younger years, some of us have. Turn back to Colossians now, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. We're talking about things that would please God. And all of this is by faith. You can't study without faith. If you've got to have all kinds of proof, you've got to dig up things here or there to prove God's Word. That's not going to get the job done. You accept it by faith. You study it by faith. When it talks about how that the light can direct the path of the weather. Man, I didn't have a clue. But as we go along, we find that the sunspots will change our jet stream, which changes our weather on our earth. Rivers in the oceans. Man is summed up in his hand. You're identified by the fingerprints. Without trying to understand that, accepting it and believing it, and then time will come when you understand it as God leads us along. But now in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Uh-oh. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. What is? Obeying your parents in all things. Why would God request that? I might not have good parents. I didn't have good parents. Man, I had some parents that just wasn't walking down the right pathway. For me to obey this and to understand that to do this, I had to trust God that He was more powerful than my parents. Whatever my parents might have me to do that's not right, if I obeyed that, believing God, then God would change it around. A good example of that is Sarah and Abraham. They went down to Egypt, and Abraham told Sarah, said, now look, I want you to not tell them that you're my wife. You're very beautiful, and they'll kill me. Just so that they could have you. And so they went down there, and she didn't say that he was his wife, or he said that she was, well, one or the other, that she was, you know, that he was her husband. And that was it. And what happened? She ended up almost committing adultery. Her faith was not in Abraham. Her faith was in God. And what did God do? He stopped it. We've got to believe that God is greater than our parents, greater than, as our pastor's been talking about, greater than anything and everything. and that God will work it out when we simply trust Him and obey Him. Now, that's a lot of faith involved in that when you stop to think about that, that is there. And then look at Psalm 69 and verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30. Now, we're trying to learn how to please God, and it's all by faith. And for without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're to do good works by faith. We're to increase the knowledge by faith. We're to obey our parents by faith. And when you obey your parents, you're going to obey all that's in authority by faith. And then you don't have a problem obeying God by faith. See? Then in Psalms 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Now, they thought having an ox or a bullock that was given to you with horns and hoofs, man, that's something great. You know, that's like getting $1 million. He said, no, what's better, what God is more pleased with, is when you will sing and praise Him. Now, I don't know about you, but for me to do that, especially singing, I've got to sing by faith. And I mean, it takes a lot of faith, but it's great. I enjoy it. Now, the person sitting next to me might not, but I got news for you. It pleases God. Now, before, as many of you have come up in your Christian life, those of you that have had some years of experience, we would pick up the hymnal and we could look at the notes, though I never could read the notes. I don't know which one from the other. They've got all letters of different kinds of letters in there. Some of you that know to do that, you can know just what to do. To get a pitch that matches one of those letters, whatever it stands for, that's beyond me on that. But I know when the note is up high on those little lines across there, it means that's a higher pitch. And the ones that's down a little lower in the lines means it's a little lower pitch. So I try to follow along when I'm hearing everybody else sing and know that I'm supposed to raise my voice up or lower my voice and trying to sing a song and get some type of melody out of that on there. Love to sing, love to sing, love to hear good singing. That's why I married my wife. Boy, I mean, she can sing. And what a joy it is. And of course, you see, in marriage, we have a miracle. The two of us became one. And she's my body. And so I'm singing through her. So, man, I'm proud of that. See? But also, I'm to sing with my own voice. And I do it by faith. From the depths of my heart. I know that God is listening and He wants to hear me in that. And to praise Him. That pleases God. Look at that again in verse 31. This also shall please the Lord better than other things that we thought might please Him in them. And then this is the area that I'm so glad that I can please God with. And you can too in a different way. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 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 And we're trying to please God different ways, but God says, this is the way you please me, by faith, by doing good works, by increasing in my knowledge, studying, and by singing and giving thanks. Man, when we lift our voices together in praise to God, what a joy it is to God and pleasing. And man, it's a joy to us as well. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Did you get that? Preaching is foolishness. But God uses that foolishness to speak to every heart, every soul that listens. He uses that foolishness to change lives by the power of the Holy Spirit in His Word. He uses that foolishness to speak to the innermost part of us by the foolishness of preaching. It'll be a sad day, and it's a sad day already, when we try to suppress or do away with the preaching of God's word. You can have all the entertainment you want and everything else you want to have in the pulpit, but when you remove the preaching, you're not pleasing God. It's just as simple as that. And so, not only do I have the privilege of preaching, which pleases God, but when you want to hear preaching, that pleases God. So it's not only the one preaching, but the one that is hearing it and want to hear the preaching of God's word. Well, our time is just about gone. Let's see. No, I've got 5 minutes here. We want to look at what happens when we please God. And we know these things that we're to do. We do that by faith. And I tell you what, if you're going to preach God's way, you got to do it by faith. It's all by faith. And what a joy. And if you're going to listen to preaching, you got to listen to it in faith. And God will speak to your heart in many different ways in them. So now turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. What happens when we please God? In verse 22 of 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because, now this is talking about whatsoever we ask, our prayers are being answered. See, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Sometimes we wonder, why aren't our prayers being answered? Well, we haven't been pleasing God. When you please God, God will answer your prayers. Just as simple as that. Then turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. What happens when we please God? Well, of course, it's a joy and a thrill just to be in God's presence when he's pleased. But your prayers will be answered when you please God. And then in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord. Are you getting that? When a man's ways please the Lord. So when you're pleasing the Lord, he, God, maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wow. That's something. Now, I've had a lot of enemies. They didn't like what I was doing, didn't like what I was teaching or how I did it. They didn't understand it. And I could give all kinds of excuses for them in that, but they just simply didn't like it. That bothers me. But I said, now, wait a minute, Lord. I don't like enemies being not pleased with me in that, but there's nothing I can do about that. So how can I solve that problem? Well, there's one thing I found out, that when you love your enemy, no longer is your enemy, he'll become your friend. God takes care of it that way. But also, when I please God, he takes care of my enemies. Notice that again. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wow. The joy of pleasing God. The blessings of pleasing God. Are you pleasing the Lord? Are you walking by faith, not by sight? Are you believing God's word just because it's God's word? Not trying to argue with it or explain it away, but just believe it? Are you studying more of God's word? Are you doing the things that God have you to do that are good and honest? Are you singing and praising God every opportunity that you have? These things please God. And then to enjoy good preaching pleases God. What a blessing we have. Our prayers are answered, and we have peace with our enemies. So may you please God. Enoch walked with God 300 years, pleasing him. Surely we can walk 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 90 years. And then when we come back, we'll have all of eternity pleasing God. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.